Hello there.
Hello there.
And welcome to What If Qui-Gon Didn't Die? My name's Jamie.
And I'm Sean.
And this week, we're going to ask ourselves, what is your favourite film in the OG trilogy?
OG trilogy. You nailed that, by the way.
Thank you very much. I did have a little sneaky practice. So I don't know if you noticed.
Yes. That was so good. Well, I'm going to make you start this one, because normally you ask me, and then I go on to a little rant, and then you're like, oh, okay, and then you have your little input. So you go first.
Okay.
And tell us what your favourite film is.
Right, so out of episodes 4, 5, and 6 only, we'll do the other trilogies on another time.
Stay tuned for those.
Yeah, so we've got A New Hope.
New Hope.
We've got The Empire Strikes Back. And then we've got Return of the Jedi. Dun, 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 dun. Now, if I was to make predictions in of a poll of however many people you want, I would say that Empire Strikes Back would always feature at the top of most people's lists.
Do you think so?
Yes.
I would have said A New Hope.
No, you see, I think A New Hope, as good as it is, and as it brings in the characters, yes, it's good. It's the base, it's the fundamentals of the whole story, I suppose. I think people prefer Empire Strikes Back because it's the development of those characters. It's seeing Luke become the Jedi. It's seeing Vader as a powerful, actual powerful force against Luke. You see the struggle, and it's left on a downer, isn't it? It's like they don't win the end of that film.
No.
There's no Death Star in there to defeat. There's no... It's just a story of sadness, isn't it? It's about growth, but also...
It's a tragic romance.
Yeah, it's more than just an action film in space.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's actual layers to it. And I think it's the only one which really breaches that level.
Yeah.
I think the other ones are like very child friendly. The first one is probably, I would say it's child friendly, but it's, like I say, it's also the fundamentals, like what is a Jedi? What is the Force?
Yeah, it's the introduction to the galaxy far, far away.
Yeah, you get the Death Star one, and you understand that that's a powerful force, and that's, you get all these little bits, but it's not like, and it's a self-contained story. You could get to the end of that film, and if no other films came out,
you'd be like that. Cool.
Yeah, great. What great story. And that's quite good. I quite like that for A New Hope.
Yeah.
Because it is so self-contained, but the characters haven't quite developed.
No.
But we don't need them to at that point, because they do what they set out to accomplish, don't they?
They
need to destroy the Death Star. They do that.
Yeah.
He uses the Force, but a bit like, you know, any other film where they just need just a touch of it, just to use it to their advantage.
Yeah.
That's all that's required, but we don't see him mature into the Jedi.
No, that's true, because he's still very young, isn't he, in episode 4, yeah.
Yeah, and then when we get into Empire, then we see him starting to train in earnest, and he then develops, and you see these sort of darker traits in all the characters, and you see them, you know, they really do take a journey.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a journey that doesn't end well.
Yeah, there's no sort of final happy ending.
Luke gets his hand cut off. Han Solo's frozen in carbonite, you know. People are just not where they want them to be at the end of a story.
Yeah, yeah. There's no full circle, as it were.
No.
You start okay, you go through some bad times, and you're okay at the end. You started on a level playing field, but then it's just bad, 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 bad.
It's just
bad.
Gone.
Oh,
it's just
credits
gone worse.
Are rolling. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think actually, when I think about it, it's a trilogy, but actually, the first film is only so you know who the characters are, but the actual story, it's more like Star Wars plus Empire Strikes Back 1 and 2.
Yeah, which is funny, because we said this about the first, well, episodes 1, 2, and 3, didn't we?
Exactly.
We said that, in another episode, number one is that could almost be standalone.
Yeah.
And then 2 and 3 are just basically one big story.
Yeah.
And they could literally just be.
You have to divide it at some point to make the two films, but.
Yeah, that could just be one big film.
Yeah.
And have two different timelines, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny how we said that about the, you know, the prequels.
And now you can find this same narrative. And actually, if I think forward to the 7, 8, and 9, I feel like it's probably quite similar in that as well. That you can get to the end of that first film, Starkiller Base is destroyed, and, you know, that's kind of left where it is. It could almost be wrapped up in that one story.
Yeah. And then the 8 and 9,
yeah,
just one big story about, and it's not about Starkiller Base, but it's about, you know, Kylo and Rey and Luke. And Luke's storyline is basically going through both films to the end anyway.
And I think that's why sometimes 5 and 6 for me are quite clear cut. Kind of.
Yeah.
Pretty sure I know what happens in each film individually, but 2 and 3, I'm easily confused about what happens.
Well,
in
we
what
have
film.
Been. We said, didn't we, in the other shows that we've got a bit mixed up.
And I think the same in 8 and 9 as well. I think I'd get confused between the two. Anyway, back to 4, 5, and 6.
Back to 4, 5, and 6.
So I think that most people would say Empire Strikes Back is the best or the favourite.
Yeah, fan favourite.
Yeah, and I also think that it probably is technically the best, objectively, it's probably the best film of three because of the way it's shot and the, you know, there's also a lack of, what do you call them, like the comic relief.
Yeah, there's no little.
There's no Ewoks, there's no Gungans,
there's no alien sort of. Oh, he's not a human, but it's quite funny because he's an alien.
A little comic sidekick kind of character.
Yeah, because even 3PO, he's battered by then, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he's on the back of Chewie. So he's not walking around being his funny self. He's just on the back, almost narrating the story. You know, he's a narrator of what's going on around him.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you say, there's no Ewoks or anything like that. It's all from human perspective.
Yeah. And
which is why it's quite, I was going to say dour, but that's the wrong word. It's quite sad because there is no relief from the fact that these humans are just having a real crap time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm. I like your choice.
But that's not my choice.
Oh!
See, I've sent you off on a curveball there. As much as I think that Empire Strikes Back is probably the best film, A New Hope is also great.
Mm.
My favourite's actually probably the one that people like the least. Which is Return of the Jedi.
That's fair enough.
And I think, despite what I've just said about how the other ones are probably superior films, the reason I like Return of the Jedi more is because when I was watching that as a child, those Ewoks, they worked.
Yeah, yeah. Captured you.
Yeah, if we watch those films if we watch those films for the first time as we're older, we'd be like, oh.
What's going on here?
They're the Gungans, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, they're cooler than Gungans.
Yeah.
Don't get it twisted.
Yeah.
But they relate to that character.
Yeah.
So I think it's hard for a lot of people to watch that and go, oh yeah, I really like the Ewoks.
Yeah.
But there's something about that whole film, and I just really like it. I like the fact that Luke comes in at the start. You've got Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
That whole Jabba the Hutt, Jabba's Palace thing is really cool. And it's a good bit of action as well.
Yeah. It reminds me of a D&D session, that. The Jabba the Hutt thing.
Yeah.
Because you've got your character in there, and then like all these random things happen.
Yeah.
But actually, do they affect the rest of the story? No, you know, he killed the Rancor. But you're like, he could have just got harmed back by Force. You know, choking Jabba, let's be fair, even though he's a good boy.
Yeah, I think he probably could have made it easier than he did.
He went a long way around it. He rolled a 1 on his critical saves or something. And then he went down into the pit. But do you see what I mean? And then with Boba as well.
Yeah.
In the Sarlacc pit. But, obviously that takes away how cool Boba Fett really is. But it was just that type of film at the era. You know, the time the film was made.
Yeah, you've almost got to add these comedy bits into it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I understand when people don't like that. because you've just come off of Empire, which is, it has got that darker, almost more, as stupid as it sounds, more realistic slant to it.
Yeah, I know what you mean, though. Like I said, it's all human, so it's more relatable, the film, because it's more humanized.
Yeah, definitely.
And aliens are doing this, you know, he's getting eaten by a massive beast, which don't exist down here on Earth, you know, sort of thing. It's all very human, and you're only looking at humans being bad guys or making decisions that humans need to make. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's why a lot of people like that. But then, so going back to Return of the Jedi, you've got that whole Jabba's Palace thing, which is great. I think it's a great portion of the film. It must be about a third of the film, a third of the film. It's quite a lot of time. Ignoring the fact of Princess Leia, because when I watched that film first time round, I probably didn't quite understand Princess Leia there.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't probably old enough to register that.
Yeah.
But it's just so good. And then you get the second Death Star, and some people might go, well, it's just churning out the same content, isn't it? You've just got another Death Star. Oh, I wonder what's going to happen here. But what I like is now you've got Lando Calrissian, and he's now got a key part in this. Yeah. He's not just some shady guy. I mean, he's still a shady guy, but he seems to have come full circle. And the Death Star now, Death Star 2, much bigger, not quite finished, but just as powerful, if not more, even in its unfinished state, feels a bit more dramatic.
Yeah.
And that shape as well is iconic. Like, have you seen the? It always comes around Pancake Day.
Oh, the half moon sort of.
And you always see the half Death Star. For some reason, seems more iconic than the full Death Star.
Full one, yeah. On all the T-shirts and that, it's the half one, isn't it?
Which is why is that? Why is the incomplete one actually the more iconic?
Yeah, I have a few theories about that. My main one is, like you say, people who have grown up with Star Wars are more likely to remember Episode 6 and what actually happens in it than Episode 4, because they were a little bit older when they watched it.
Yeah.
So it obviously meant a bit more to them. It wasn't just a crazy little space film. It was, oh, I'm invested in these characters now.
Oh, that's
now
true, I know. Yeah.
So, and that's probably, might be why I say probably, but.
Yeah, other things I like are the speeder bikes.
Yes, very good scene with them. Yeah. I actually really like them. It's a bit weird that they use them in the jungle with a lot of trees in the way when they're obviously built for open areas. But
also it makes it interesting for that chase.
Yeah,
You know, obstacles and whatever. They're clearly all skilled on these things, but there's a kind of a jeopardy to their chase, isn't there?
Yeah.
You might get killed or caught by the other person, but also
you could
look out for that tree.
Yeah. George.
So and I like that. I like the sound of them. I like how that feels. I mean, we haven't even talked about sound. Best sound in all the films? TIE Fighters.
Yeah.
There's no question. There's nothing even comes close. The TIE Fighter sound is incredible.
Yeah.
Anyway, and the speeder bikes. But the speeder bikes are also quite reminiscent of pod races.
Yes.
Not because they look the same or the competition of it, but it's the kind of the jeopardy of going fast in tight turns and, you know, you've got somebody
who's... You're in peril because you're not protected.
And they're fighting each other and they also sound good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially Sebulba's. Sounds really good. Yeah, that's all good. You get the Ewoks, but you also get primitive traps. I quite like the fact that there's kind of this idea that you can make weapons out of things that you can just find in the woods.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think that appeals to young me.
Yeah, you run around with a stick in your hand and a sword, and all these little bears are killing big machines, but with like wood.
Yeah,
and you're going, oh, the little, and it's also the little guy can do it.
Yeah.
So if you're growing up watching the films, you're little and you're thinking, well, they've taken on the big bad. Well, I can take on the big bad. And, you know, and then it's... Oh, I lost the point. It was on the tip of my tongue. But yeah, it's... I think it's like you say about the weapons and stuff, but also it's... I don't know. It's like, you know... Oh, I've lost my point. It's something about the Ewoks, but...
Something, something complete.
Yes.
So you get all these little scenes that come together, and I think there's more action.
Yeah.
I think there's more. It is more action packed, I think, than the others. And I think that appeals to a younger mind.
Mm. Yeah.
But because it appealed to me when I was younger, in the way that Empire didn't, I've kind of always taken Return as being my favourite.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
And there's only one Return, by the way.
Yeah.
And that is of the Jedi, not of the King.
Oh, you stabbed me, sir. Oh. Hey, Mufasa would be upset with you.
Yeah.
You what?
So yeah, and then you've obviously got the Emperor. You're seeing the Emperor kind of in full force at that point as well, with the Force lightning, and it's the
big he comes out of his shell.
Yeah, and then you're seeing Darth Vader turn, and you know you're seeing a good fight there. It's a bit of a coy move from Luke. He kind of hides in the shadows a bit. And,
yeah.
But how else can he play it? He doesn't know how strong he is against Darth Vader, the most powerful Jedi
ever living
in the galaxy.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that the Emperor sat right next to him with that Force lightning, capable of anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I think there's so many parts to Return of the Jedi that for me make it better, especially as a youngster.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I still think that the objectively it would be Empire, but for me, my favourite.
Yeah.
Return of the Jedi. There's my argument for it.
Wow, that's good. Do you know what I'm going to do? When this episode comes out,
yeah,
I'm going to do a little poll.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll ask the listeners what they think as well.
Yeah, I'd like that.
Yeah.
And I don't want to influence anybody else's vote.
Yeah.
But I'd be surprised if it didn't come out with Empire Strikes Back on top.
Yeah, yeah. And I agree with your reasons as to why.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But my favourite is actually episode 4.
Yeah?
Yeah. I kind of like that beginning, sort of setting the pace.
Yeah.
You know, meeting the characters. And then, because then what happens is, for me, your imagination can go with, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah, and imagine what can happen if this, you know. And
yeah, you don't know what they're capable of yet. Yeah. You're imagining,
it's going, you know. And it's like when he's on the... And you meet Han for the first time and you go, oh, he's really... It's the first time you meet Han and he's so sort of brash and forward talking and he's a little bit cocksure and that. And then you're like, this is new sort of to watch. You know, and then by the time you get to episode 6, you're used to the way Han is and you're like, well, actually, he has got a good art. But in this film, he's a scoundrel.
He is a scoundrel.
Yeah, yeah, there's no. Yeah, and he's got his big shaggy dog.
Yeah.
Who can beat people up, you know? But like, and I think like when you see Chewbacca for the first time, and you're like,
what is that?
Yeah, and he's a monster, you know. And then you meet old crazy Ben, but then you think, yeah, he's acting a bit crazy, but he did just chop that guy's arm off.
Yeah.
In the pub.
He's a cool dude.
Yeah, he's for an old guy, he's cool.
And when he does the mind trick as well on the stormtroopers. I mean, when you first see that, you're like, how is he controlling their mind?
Yeah, this exactly. Yeah, and it's just a little in his hand.
Yeah.
You know, Luke don't even notice it then.
And everybody, when they see automatic doors at the supermarket, after that, you know, they're waving their hands.
That's where it comes from, man. Yeah. I stand, I'll do it, I'm like that. Cool. Just gently.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then, you know, you got R2 and 3PO, and you start to see, because obviously 3PO's got that character the whole way through.
Mm.
But again, it's that first impression you get of him, and he's slapping R2 and he's having a go at him because he's a sassy little bloke. And then R2's just walking off going, yeah, well, I'm right. Billy, bop, bop, buddy. But you, because by episode 6, you know, 7, 8, and 9, you're so used to how they are.
Yeah.
You're sort of like, oh, okay, great. Well, it is these two little legends.
Yeah.
They're like old friends. But when you first meet him, it's like, oh, I've just met these cool dudes. Imagine me like, I met some cool dudes yesterday.
Do you know, I kind of realise as we talk about it, one of the good things about A New Hope is you meet all these characters and each one is so different to the next.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's no class. Like, they're all very different. Nobody's got a crossover personality trait.
Mm.
But I think you're right. By the time you get to those later films, you know the characters, so the story really has to take over. Yeah. It's all well and good having personalities, but if there's no story to it, then it's sometimes
yeah, they have to grow. And yeah. That's why I quite like Han and Kylo sort of in the later ones.
Mm.
And, you know, you make fun of he's his son, because otherwise, you know, granted Harrison Ford was a bit older for them later films, but you know Han and yeah. you know what his attitude is.
Yeah.
So when he's smuggling with Chewie and Leia's nowhere to be seen, you're like, I'm not even surprised that he's not with her.
No, it's just
his calling, isn't it? You don't think, oh, he's just going to settle down and help Leia all the time.
Yeah.
He's had enough and he's buggered off. But because when you first meet him, you go, oh, he's a pirate. He's cool. He's like, you know,
yeah.
he's your Jack Sparrow almost of that era. And you're going, oh, yeah, he's cool. I like that. Everybody wants to be Han Solo, you know. And then you'll see meet Leia for the first time. And then you go on the Death Star. And even the story, you know, it's like we said, it's a standalone film.
Yeah.
So they defeat the Death Star at the end and he blows it up. And then they have the little ceremony. And it just sort of rounds it off
yeah.
as a film. So it's like you said, if I had only seen Episode 4 and then I've never seen any more Star Wars, I would still say that Star Wars film was great because it actually finished and I didn't, you know, and if I didn't watch any more, it wouldn't affect me to the point where I was going, oh, well, I don't actually know what happened. Because I sort of, that film came to a close. Mini storyline finished off.
It does, yeah. It's only because they tagged that bit on at the end.
Yeah.
Where Luke disappears off to find Yoda.
That you sort of go, oh, there is more to come.
Yeah. But they could have, you know, they cut that bit out, then you would have no idea. And
yeah. And it would just be, oh, well, maybe he's going to become a space wizard, but we'll never know.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. But then, as well, I like the cinematography, you know, the two moons.
That iconic scene
when he walks out of the hut and he's standing looking at the two moons and you think...
Because you're watching a film and you're like, well, we know that there's one moon and there's one sun.
Yeah.
But hang on, this is a completely different planet and... What? Is that two suns?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what is two... Why what is it
going sun? On? Yeah, yeah. And it actually makes you realise that even though Luke and obviously Owen and...
Beru
are humans.
Yeah.
It reminds you that you're not on Earth.
Yeah.
So that shot is like, yeah, there's aliens around, but you sort of forget that when you're watching.
Do you know, I always forget as well that there's two suns there. Even though it's iconic, you kind of get watched it so many times, you're kind of like, yep.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. But it's because other planets, because... As well, they can all breathe on like nearly every planet.
Mm.
You sort of forget that they're just not Earth.
Yeah.
But that scene there just always makes me think, oh, God, yeah, it ain't Earth.
No.
They're in space and they're on a random planet somewhere and, you know, they farm moisture for a living. How mental is that?
How depressing is that?
Yeah, well, yeah, basically, yeah. Yeah. And then you meet the little,
Jawas.
Jawas, yeah, they're cool.
I love those.
Yeah.
Utini!
Yeah, that's it. Because they're kind of like the Ewoks of the first film, aren't they?
Yeah, I suppose they are, yeah.
They're not funny because of what they do. It's just funny because...
They're little and make funny noises.
They're little and make funny noises, yeah. They drive a massive tank, which is obviously way oversized for them. And, you know, and they have a little... They just go around selling scrap to people.
Yeah.
But then you've got the sound people as well, who are obviously vicious, dangerous. And you, when you first meet them, you're like, God, are these the big bad guys of the film?
Especially when he's looking through his binoculars.
Yeah.
And he's looking at the ones further over and he's looking at the big banthers and he's going, yep, they're there. And then all of a sudden, you're like, oh.
Yeah, exactly. You could be quite easily swayed to say, well, yeah, Darth Vader's a bad guy, but geez.
Yeah, don't mess with those sand people.
Yeah, they're hard.
Yeah, and they only travel in single file.
Yeah, they're so dangerous even in single file. No arrow formation or anything. But then again, like, Luke's so young, I think because he's got that thing about he wants to leave home and he wants to go on an adventure, even though I was really little when I watched that, because, you know...
We all dream of growing up and
going on adventures. We read books about it,
yeah,
you know... you'd get your first little Game Boy game and it'd be some RPG and you go on a little adventure. You're going, oh, he's going on an adventure.
Yeah.
Imagine that. And you forget that he doesn't know Ben and he's a complete stranger.
Yeah.
The two droids that are with him are actually part of a dangerous storyline. Yeah. And he's jumped into the fire. You just think, oh, great, he's going on an adventure.
I mean, he doesn't have any choice in the end, but he kind of, out of nowhere, 1 minute he's trapped.
Yeah.
For another season.
Yeah.
And then he can go, supposedly, but realistically, he's probably not going to be that season. He's
probably going to be kept there, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, yeah, he's thrust into this space adventure.
Yeah.
That he was not expecting. He probably never expected to not feel the sand between his toes.
Yeah.
On any given day. And all of a sudden, he's got nothing but vacuum.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And he's got this sword of his dad's, and he's finally had some information about his dad.
Yeah.
And he was this, you know, saber sword wielding, like, you know, badass, apparently.
Yeah.
And he's going, oh, this is awesome. Like, and all them sort of new feelings. But I felt the same. I'm just going to switch films here a little bit just to give a little input to what I'm like. Shrek 1.
Yeah.
All right. I liked Shrek 1. If they never did another Shrek film, I would have been happy as Larry.
Yeah.
Because I like, and it's the same thing, I like the first film of things.
Yeah.
So Shrek 1, great. You know, nothing had to change.
No.
Didn't have to change it because it was a cool film. Done. You could have left it.
This is always the way, isn't it? First film is always made with the idea that it's the only film they're going to make.
Yeah.
Once you get the second film, so in somebody's mind, they'll be going, maybe there's a third film to this.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a fourth. Maybe there's a series of things going on. So they don't even necessarily wrap things up in the second film. They can kind of soft close it, I suppose, and kind of go, well, yeah, it's done.
But is it done?
But is it done? If we want to do third one,
yeah.
But they leave the door more open, whereas, yeah, first films are usually better in the sense that they're more complete.
They have to close, don't they?
They have to close, otherwise, unless you know it's a, unless you've signed a deal to make two or three specifically.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I imagine that when they made episode one, they already knew that there were going to be two and three to go with it, because Anakin's so small.
Yeah, he has to get to where
he has to get to Vader.
Yeah.
But we don't see it in episode one. Even though you could watch episode one as standalone, you kind of don't finish that story.
Yeah, you need to get there by episode three.
So you already know that's going to happen. But yeah, New Hope, it could just be wrapped up.
Yeah. And I'm the same with all of them. I'm the same with Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could have just left Matrix 1.
Yeah.
And I would have been exactly the same as loads of films. Granted, Lord of the Rings, not so much, because I read the books and I know that needs to be finished.
But, yeah.
But there are so many films out there, I could just watch the first one of them and go, oh yeah, cool. That was amazing.
Yeah.
And that's the vibe I get from number four, because he does a bit of training and I'm happy that there's more. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, like, yeah,
I love seeing more of them. But, you know, you get on the Falcon for the first time and it's like the speeder bikes.
Yeah.
They do the hyperspace thing.
Oh yeah, that full. Oh yeah,
and the first time they do it, and then they have the fight with the TIE fighters, don't they?
Yeah.
And he jumps in the gun and he's
don't
like,
get cocky, kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're like, he's done all these things in the first film and it's just like a little me is just mind blown.
Yeah.
Watching the gun and the game and you think, oh, that's so, like, why can't I just, like, he could have died, but let's forget that.
Yeah.
I'd love to shoot bad guys out of a spaceship.
Yeah, that's also such a cool thing about that first film is you see, it's like a film of, the first film is the film of first.
Yeah.
You're seeing space.
They're shoving this galaxy down your throat,
yeah.
But in a way where you don't feel overwhelmed by it.
No.
They're showing you all these little things and going, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also just enough to be overwhelmed to the point of going, what?
Yeah, great film.
This is insane. Yeah.
It's a galaxy. They've travelled from one side to the other.
You can't even comprehend the distances they're travelling by hyperspace.
No, not at all. Not at all.
And you happen to have met a space wizard.
Yeah.
And that's not even the tip of the exciting iceberg of the film.
Yeah. Because next thing you know, they're in the first Death Star in the garbage chute and he watches the old wizard die and he doesn't know it yet, but it's his dad.
Yeah.
And then you see that little fight and you go, oh, that's the big bad guy. Holy crap, he's got a red sword.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you see the red lightsaber till No, he fights Ben.
No, you don't.
You only see him force choke the officer and sort of force choke the other guy. But you don't see him get his sword out.
The lightsaber is described as old Ben as being, you know, it's almost like the noble weapon, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's not going to get it out. Vader's not getting that out to punish people.
No.
Normal, regular people.
He's just going to force choke him because he can. But the sword is for Ben.
The sword is for honor.
Yeah, and Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan! But, yeah. And then that as well. And then, you know, that little scene we were talking about. Like, so in my head, if I think about it, I'll go, oh, that fight was probably a bit more epic. But obviously we saw bits where Luke and Han are running around shooting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're going, this fight's happening the entire time. It could be absolutely amazing.
It's funny when you first watch that film, when you were younger, and that is how it looks. It looks incredible. You're like, wow, they're proper fighting.
Because the graphics of the time ain't great, and they've got these two laser swords, and they look like they're pushing against each other, and they're tapping them, and it's going, joom, 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 and you're going, oh, come on, quickly, Darth Vader's going to get you. The evil guy with the mask on. Because obviously back then as well, for a bad guy, you never had any bad guys really like that. It was, you know, you think of cowboy films, you always saw the bad guy's face, because he'd pull the little mask down the neckerchief his face, or something like that. But Darth Vader, he had his helmet on the entire film. You never saw his face.
No.
So
mysterious and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but because, you know, people say you're supposed to see the face so you get the emotion if they're evil or not.
You don't need that.
You don't need that with Darth Vader because he's all in black. You know he's a bad guy.
And I think what makes that even more impressive is it's not just one person.
No.
Darth Vader is two... Yeah, at least two people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I say at least because I'm sure there's another actor who plays parts of Darth Vader.
Yeah, I'm sure there was.
Perhaps not in episode 4, but certainly over time.
Yeah, yeah, it's changed. Yeah, there was a few more actors, I think.
Yeah, but they split the responsibility.
Yeah.
And you still get that full feeling of how he is.
And despite the fact that his
mask doesn't move, it doesn't... The only time we see it is when he takes it off, but we only see the back of his head.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
There's no emotion on the back of your head, is there?
No, and this is it. And you still don't see until the very last bit when Luke takes it off to look at him.
Oh, that's right. That's the third actor.
Yeah, yeah.
So Darth Vader is David Prowse, the Green Cross Code man. And then he's voiced by James Earl Jones.
Yeah.
And then his actual face is... somebody else, I can't remember what his name is.
Yeah, but yeah.
But yeah, three people play Darth Vader in those three films.
Yeah. You don't even need to see, like I say, you don't need to see his face in the first film.
No.
Because as a youngling, you're blown away by this big bad guy, and he's taller than the other people.
Yeah.
So all the stormtroopers look
up to
him.
And he doesn't even have to touch anybody, and he's...
And he's just...
Power.
Yeah. And, you know, and the...
And he starts the film.
Yeah.
You start the film under attack.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's the first one in there.
It's not. You don't even see Luke at this point.
No,
you've got no idea. All you see is there's a rebel ship. In fact, you don't even realize it's a rebel ship. You just know it's a smaller ship.
There's some guys on there with some guns, and a big bad guy's just come in and slaughtered.
Yeah, and is demanding information, and nobody's going to be able to stop him.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so good.
I mean, it is such a good film.
Yeah, yeah.
So good.
But that's why I love it, I think, more than the other two. Don't get me wrong, the other two are good for the progression of the story.
Yeah.
But it's like I've said, for me, as a sort of open and closed book, I could watch that and be like, oh, I'm just so happy with that.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
You know, and when Luke screams no, and you're like, you've only known this old guy a little while, but that shows the emotion that Darth Vader takes away from the scene. It's Luke and everybody else. Gives the emotion while Vader just stands there being menacing.
Yeah.
And it makes you like him even more. Because Luke's upset and Vader just... Because you can't see his face. You don't know if he's smiling or scowling or, you know, gobbing him off. He's just stood there. You know? And then you've got all the others and it's just... Yeah. And then you've got the droids, which are a little bit funny. But you've never seen droids like that before either.
No.
So that's the first time you're like... Wow, that little R2 unit, he's amazing. Look at all this cool stuff he can do.
And you listen, you know what he's saying.
without knowing what he's saying.
Yeah. And it's not even like you can even guess what he's saying because it's impossible.
Yeah.
But you know from his tone
that he's just being sass.
He's just cheeky, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's a
cheeky little boy. And you like the cheeky little boy.
Yeah.
Because he's just funny.
And because he got C-3PO playing it so straight.
Yeah.
Which is ironic because he sounds so not straight. But he plays a straight character, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And then R2's kind of the comedy of the two.
Yeah.
But it only works because C-3PO is so...
Yeah.
Down the line about everything.
And he almost narrates what's going on with R2 to the audience without actually breaking the fourth wall. It's like he's having a go at him and it's narrating what's going on.
Yeah, but without saying what he's actually said.
Yeah.
It's just the response, and then you have to work out what has been said previous to the response to then go,
that's what's going on. He's telling him to shut the F up.
Yeah.
Basically. But yeah, and then... And, you know, and they dress up as storm, and then they set a precedent by dressing up as stormtroopers.
Mm.
See, that's the first film they did it. And now Ezra Bridger and all the other films where they dress up and they're like, oh, we'll just make a stormtrooper thing.
Yeah.
And then you're like, the OGs did that.
Yeah.
Don't be being tryouts. Come on.
It's such a good film. I think, to be honest, I don't think there's a wrong answer to this question, though, is there?
No, there ain't. Because, like I say, I like the other two just as much. You know, every film has really cool stuff in it for me. It's only episode 4 because it's the first time you see this galaxy and you're introduced to so much, but in such a way that it's just, that bit was cool. Oh, that bit was cool. Oh, look at his laser gun. That's cool. Oh, look at the ship. That's cool. Oh, they're in space again. Oh, yeah.
I just want to ask one more question.
Go ahead.
If out of those three films, you got the chance to have your memory wiped of it and you got to watch it for the first time again, which film would you choose? Would you still choose A New Hope, or would you like to see Episode 5, Episode 6, brand new, as a grown up, as a big boy?
As a big boy.
Or do you think you would like to have that marvel of the first film?
I think it would be the marvel, because it's a strange one, because I love the nostalgia as well.
Mm.
The nostalgia is in there for, we've both said it loads of times about the nostalgia. But I could watch episode 4 again and then relive all of the new stuff,
and
the hyperspace and the spaceship and the fights and, you know, Vader and all the rest of it, I'll probably choose that.
That's funny. I think I would also do the same. I'd choose A New Hope to watch it fresh.
Reintroduce yourself to everything and, you know, fall in love with it again.
Yes, Return of the Jedi is my favourite, but actually if I had to start again with current eyes, A New Hope is what I'd want to see.
Yeah.
I also think it's funny, and I've said this for years and years, I love Star Wars. I don't know if I've said this on the podcast or not, and this is kind of a, I don't know if this is a hot take or not. I don't know if I'm very good at hot takes, but here we go. If I was to watch Star Wars films now and I did not have that nostalgia from my childhood, I sometimes wonder, would I even enjoy these films? Would I even go to the cinema to watch them, or would I just be like, it's not my thing? There's no... Like just ignoring the past, what we are now, nearly 50 years.
Yeah.
Which is mind-blowing, isn't it? 47 years of Star Wars, ignoring all of that, and then just going, right, here's Star Wars the first time. There's nothing about it. You're just going to go and watch a film. Would I watch that and go, given today's films and how things are these days, would I still watch it and go, that's incredible? Or would I just watch it and go, yeah, it was all right.
Maybe.
And then that'd be it. But I don't know if that's just because so many films now and so many space films and this sort of thing, they've all been massively influenced by
Star Wars. Star Wars, it started it all, didn't it, really?
I wonder if you also removed all the films that were influenced by Star Wars and then got to watch Star Wars, if it would then be better.
Oh, that would be the way to do it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to... Say you add Interstellar out and then Lucas brought out Star Wars, you'd be like, oh, but Interstellar was so good.
Yeah.
And this is just not up to pace now. with today's films. It's, and I think it's because of the nostalgia that Star Wars has the following that it does.
Yeah, and that, and that's something that I always play with in my head.
Yeah.
Do I like it because it's a really good film? Or do I like it because I enjoyed it years and years ago and now I'm just, it's just a continuous sort of nostalgic kind of journey. And everything that comes out, I watch it all and enjoy it all because it's just, I'm so invested now.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't break away from it even if I wanted to.
Yeah, I think that because like you got the Bad Batch and Clone Wars and stuff. Bad Batch is just, there's another season out now.
Yeah.
It's like me and Matt at work, we always talk about it, and he's a bit older than me, and I think that, like, if it weren't for the nostalgia, would I be interested in these little off-cut cartoons? But actually, I love them.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think, is that because it's today's Star Wars take, or is it the you know, the nostalgia of the old stuff that makes me more invested in the Clone Wars stuff to enjoy it?
You've spent so much time within that galaxy.
Yeah, you just want to keep being a part of it.
Yeah, and you want to see as much of it as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that leads to a good point, because I think because the films, and we've said this loads of times, it's not the big main storyline, it flows around the outside, blah, blah, blah. But there's no like, lore. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
There's no sort of like, oh, in such and such a time, this happened, which is why this happens, which is why this guy's here, which is why this game was made or whatever. But we only get our lore, our sort of history, to build upon storylines and when people go, oh, but this happened in 20 BBY, so that's why this is this way now. Yeah, it's because of all the extra stuff that comes out afterwards. It's like we said,
fills in the gaps.
It fills in the gaps because obviously the gaps are there, and then, you know, Disney or whatever's putting in the little things for us to watch, and it's all amazing, you know, and you're going, oh, well, that's why Dooku changed then. Yeah. How cool is that? Because you see Dooku in episode 2 and he's all horrible and blah, 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 but then you watch the Clone Wars, which they made, and you go, right, okay, so this is why. And it's the this is why that some people like, because they love it and they just want that little bit more. As can we go back in time and see why?
Yeah.
I want to know where it comes from. I want to see the beginning. And that's what number 4 is. It's the beginning. Even though it's not the beginning of the Jedi.
But it's the genesis, isn't it?
The beginning of the journey.
Of our story. Of what we know.
Yeah.
That is. Everything we love about Star Wars is based on what we learned in A New Hope.
Yeah, yeah.
And without A New Hope, then the rest of the story doesn't even exist.
And it's like we said about the what order to watch them.
Yeah.
You know, if today episode 1 come out, and they had planned, obviously, the 9 films, but they said we're going to bring out episode 1 first.
Yeah.
I don't think it would have the same effect.
No, I don't.
Because we needed 4, 5 and 6 to be like, again, Vader is such a badass.
Yeah.
Like, he's Luke's dad. And he turned evil. But we don't know anything about him apart from that. We know Palpatine's got his claws in him, but damn. And then you need 1, 2, and 3 to be like, oh my God, that's how.
Yes.
But if you add that first, by the time you saw Vader in episode 4, and I think we've spoken about this before outside of the podcast, you'd watch episode 4 then and be like, oh, there's Vader.
Yeah.
You need that episode 4 first to almost be like, wow,
to build that excitement, even though you know it's like in horror films, isn't it, when you see the baddie to start,
yeah,
and then you're waiting to see what the baddie does next,
yeah,
or
yeah,
how people react to the baddie that you've seen what he does and you know it's going to be bad, but yeah, like, I need
a bit more,
I need more, but you can't see it because actually now they've restricted your access to what the baddie's doing.
Yeah.
Just to sort of keep you excited because you know he's coming back.
But that's good story writing, isn't it? That's good film writing as well.
Yeah, you know? I think so.
But yeah, so there we go.
Well, there we go. That sounds like a good place to wrap up.
Good place to wrap up.
Yeah. Come on. I think we've got good arguments for all 3 of those films to be the best film.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what I'm impressed about, I say impressed, I don't know if that's too strong a word, but I am impressed neither of us chose Empire.
Yeah.
Which I think is, like I said, I still think that's probably arguably...
If there was a majority vote, I think episode 5 would probably be people's main go-to, yeah, for the points you raised earlier. Yeah. So, but like I say, I'm going to put a little poll out, people. So if you want to click on that, maybe even let me know why. You know, get in touch and tell us why you think. We might even mention it on the show and put your ideas forward. Who knows?
Yeah. You've got a good chance.
Yeah, well, that's
You've got more chance if you get in touch.
That's it, yeah. But yeah, look out for that poll, people. This should be out on our Instagram. With this episode, I'll make sure it comes out on the Monday.
This episode goes on air.
So check the Instagram out. I'll put the little poll up there. It might be a story or a reel, whichever one works. I'm not very tech-minded, so I'll see. But just check the What If Qui-Gon Didn't Die Instagram page. The poll will be up there. And I hope to see you click your favourite of episode 4, 5 or 6.
Lovely. Right. Pleasure, as always, talking to you.
Pleasure, sir.
Thank you for your insight.
Thank you for yours.
And look after yourself.
Be good.
And stay out of the sand.